This is Average Advice. I'm Zar.
And I'm Tim. Average guys, average stories, average advice.
Welcome to season two, where new and exciting things are on the way.
Stay tuned and stay average.
You think we overpromised?
Nah.
Welcome back. Another episode of Average Advice at Zabi. First episode of the new year.
Yeah, it's exciting. I've been missing it.
Zabi actually forgot this episode was on today. It feels good to be in the other side of it.
Yeah.
We've all been there, mate.
Yeah, just like I was trying to figure out the whole photo thing and then it stressed me out. I was like, I'm going to go play games. And then you were like, where are you? Oops.
We have another guest in the hot seat, my friend Sarah. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. I'm glad that all the glitches are gone and I can hear you and we're here.
Well,
we're talking.
Welcome to the show. Yeah, dude, as soon as we started going remote, we have been getting glitch and technical issues galore. It's actually crazy. We tried to have some of our friends on from Perth, a different podcast that we listen to. And they tried to come on and it was a nightmare.
It did not work.
There was just, they were in the middle of buttfuck nowhere. And like literally it was, we were supposed to do it at 7. We ended up starting the recording at 8 because it was just all not working. They kept trying to go back in, come back in, come back out. And it just did not work. Oh, and we ended up having to just do audio and only went for 20 minutes because they cut back out again.
Well, I have to say you are really, both of you are really great and patient and you're building a lot of resilience around tech issues, which is
it's crazy how many people you actually need them. Yeah.
Tech issues.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm surprised because when me and Zar like joined this, it just worked perfectly both times. But to be fair, I think because Zar's housemate is very, very keen on the internet, so he probably got a really, really good fiber connection to that house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You lucky duck, you.
It started pretty rough.
Yeah. Mate, like, it's so weird. So sometimes it's such a flip of the coin because I don't really know what I'm looking for when I go and look for, like, internet providers, you know what I mean? Like, I know a bit about computers and stuff like that. I know how to build a computer. But when it comes to, like, gigabit nets and all that, I'm so clueless with it. Bandwidth, no clue. No clue.
Oh, man. I got sucked in so hard. And it was only like 2 months later that I realized how this guy just schmoozed me on the phone.
Really?
I was calling about, I think it was about electricity. And he ended up selling me internet on that phone call.
How?
And I don't know. I honestly don't know. It was the most amazing guy. We had such a great chat. Even at the point where he was in Melbourne. The office was based in Melbourne and I had a shoot there the following week and we were talking like, all right, catch up, have a coffee and all this sort of crap. It was absolutely just a sales tactic. Mate, like he was on fire.
A good salesman.
And it was...
It's so hard to say no to a good salesman. You're like, oh, I really want...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I really want to give you
And I moment. Hadn't had one in such a long time. It was like, oh, okay, they still do exist. And I really was so... It was such a rarity, such a novelty that I really didn't realize what happened until a couple of months later. But I was like, wow.
Also, I'm one of those people that if someone... I'm so skeptical and so on my guard with, like, scams. And not just scams, but just, like crap. Shit's not a deal, you know what I mean? But if someone convinces me, is just like, nah... You need to spend your money on this. I'm like, you know, you've done your job well.
I feel like it's
well.
Not that hard to convince you to spend your money on things.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not back in the day, but things that I don't require, you know what I mean? Like if I want something 100% easy, I'd buy that without a salesman, you know what I mean? But buying things that I don't normally buy. Like the last time the only thing that I can come from memory was I was walking down in the mall randomly. And you know those like side stalls? And it was around Christmas and they're trying to sell colognes and perfumes and stuff. And I was like, I'm not buying. But I was at the same time, I needed a cologne. But so I was talking over a bit, knowing full well that I wasn't going to buy anything because he was really nice and he pulled me into the table. I was like, all right, whatever. And it started off at like $100 and for like one thing. And I was like, no way. There's no fucking way. Ended up coming down to two colognes, two perfumes that I was going to give to my mom. And I ended up getting it for like $80. And I was like, you know, that's a bargain.
Oh.
And I was even going to like, I was like, no, all right, I'll come back to you. I'm just going to get money out and I'll come back. And he literally went to the ATM because he knew I wasn't going to come back. So he was a sneaky one.
I feel like I'll tell this story and then we'll actually get to asking about Sarah. Yeah,
introducing our guest. Yeah,
you know those like those charity people, and they like walk up to you on the street. They're like, "Oh, hey man, how you going?" They like smooze you first, oh, yeah. And then yeah. after you talk to them for a bit, they're like, "So anyway, I'm doing this charity stuff." This guy was with Royal Flying Doctor Service, and he's talking to me for a bit, and I was like, okay, man, well, I've actually got to go to work, and I was catching a bus. So I was like, I've got to get on my bus to work, and he was like, oh, that's okay. I'll get in the bus with you, and I was like,
no, oh, he okay. didn't.
And I get on, no, stand by my way, didn't. And he's just like, oh, sorry, man, I don't have any money for the bus. And the bus driver was like, oh, that's fine. I was like, come on, dude, you got to back me up here. Just tell him he can't get on the bus. Anyway.
Did he sit next to you?
He got off. No, he got to like Barton area, and he gets off. He's like, he had got me sign up, and I was like, fine, I'm trapped. I signed up. Then he's like, cool, man, no see you later. Way. Got off the bus, and I just cancelled instantly. I know.
Oh my gosh.
That's actually the funniest story I've ever heard. How have I not heard that story before?
Surreal. It was so surreal.
I've never seen someone just like that keen to get someone to, you know, donate to charity, to like go on a bus to the
and
wrong
he's
way.
He's obviously been told you do whatever it takes.
Yeah, I hate those guys.
To get this sign up.
I honestly refuse to give any money to those people because they're just mm-hmm. so annoying. Like, you know.
Yeah. Last time I oh, sorry. You go.
No, you go. You go. I'm sick of me hearing you speak.
Sick of you. Last time I ran into these guys was at Rhodes Shopping Centre. And I'm the same. Like, you see him coming a mile away and you've got, like, your tunnel vision on. Just don't look at me. And they came and tried to approach me and I was in a really bad mood. So I kind of snapped at them and I was like, I know what you're selling. I'm not interested. Yeah. And then I left. And then I started feeling really bad. And so I came back and I was like, look, I know you're selling stuff and this is your job. To be honest, I'm just curious, how do you do this? Like, how do you feel about this job? And I started interviewing them on the spot, and I ended up booking one of the guys, and he shot an acting showreel with me.
That's hilarious.
And he used the job as acting practice, and I was like, that's actually pretty brilliant.
That's the thing.
Let all the guards.
I think that's the main reason why I don't like those guys, because I know they have ulterior motives. Like, they put it on as like, oh, we're donating to charity and stuff, but like, I don't know how much of that money actually goes to the charity. I don't know how that business structure works. Yeah. Obviously, they're making some sort of commission. So I'm just like, all about it is just dodgy.
Anyway, in my opinion. I feel like people don't know who Sarah is. We're just talking to this random person. Yeah. So she's your friend. You live in Sydney, Sarah. Is that correct?
Yes, I do at the moment.
And she's in North Sydney. What is your deal?
What's your deal, Sarah?
What's your deal? You know what? The timing of that question is actually really poignant.
Okay, good.
That's what I'm trying to figure out right now. I have too many things on my plate and I love all of them. And I am in this process right now. Like, I'm on holidays right now. I get one break a year. Not to say that my job is like, you know, I'm not run off my feet 24/7 like I used to be. We've been able to calm down a little bit. I should start with that. So I run a production house. I shoot video content and photos and all sorts of creative media for companies and
Sarah's a very creative
person. So you could give us tips on how to edit video.
Yes,
she'll charge us top dollar though.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm not doing it though, but yeah.
Just give us tips. I'll try and do it.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so that is the day job, but
hooker by night.
Are you still with Sydney Classics or?
Yeah. So Dave and I.
Give him a plug.
But I'm actually, good old Sydney Classics. You know what's fascinating is even you just then, you've said Sydney Classics. There's like this.
I know, god damn it.
It's called, no, it's fine. It's just hilarious. It's called Sydney Classic. Sydney Classic.
It just seems like it should have an S on the end.
We're almost at the point of rebranding because every single one of our clients, no joke, every single one, even in emails, even when they can see that our email signature block is right under it saying Sydney Classic, they say, hey, Sydney Classics, how you doing? So
people,
I think we...
People don't read. That's what I've learned. People don't read things.
Apparently not.
They see the beginning and the end. They don't see the beginning. But actually, no, that would make sense because S is at the end of it. People dumb. People be dumb. I said being one of those people.
What is Sydney Classic?
Good job.
So Sydney singular. Classic is... It is, well, it's two words, but in our signature block, it becomes melded into one word. So that may be where the confusion's coming from. But I think that people think that Dave and I, because it's run by myself and my business partner, so it's just two of us. We have contractors when we need them, but I think they think that we are the classics. Mm. Like, mm. he's a classic, she's a classic, they're classics.
You're just know? Classic people, so, Sarah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll take it. We're at the point where we just laugh at it. It's great.
I mean, but, is there another business out there that's called Sydney Classics that's stealing all your customer base?
There's not, but there is a Sydney Classic Cars that every now and then gets a bit melded up in our clients.
So, right, when we started making this podcast, we found that I saw there was another podcast called Average Advice, and we were like,
so annoying.
Well, we're not changing now.
No, I refuse.
Because we're not changing.
I actually did that because when we made the whole plan, we had this whole like sit down for like 3 months, and then because when we came up with the name, I searched it, nothing came up. And then when we finally I started recording episodes, I searched it again and it came up and I'm like, you motherfucker. Man. But then I looked at them.
Put it out into the ether.
I looked at them and then they only had 5 episodes and I was like, we've already beat them, fuck it.
We are the big fish here. Are you going to go and trademark it quick?
I mean, we've got an ABN. We got the ABN, so that like they're never going to be able to get a website, so fuck them.
Well, I mean, if they're overseas...
Yeah, we've only got the .au ABN website domain. We're too broke to pay for the .com, you know.
So what kind of things do you videograph, Sarah?
Everything. I mean,
you've been in the industry for a while, right?
Yes. So this is the thing. This is the day job, but this is both Dave and I are sort of filtering out doing other things and I want to filter into a little bit more holistic space. I want to be filming people who are helping people. I don't want it to be necessarily just filming to promote people and people who already have a lot of money get more money.
Yeah,
we've done a lot of that and we're good at that, but they've got enough money and that's fine. So, you know, we have a few of those clients, but we're working more towards working with healers and, you know, whether it's yoga instructors or dancers or musicians or...
Trying to share people's artistic sort of creative expression.
Good vibes also. Just share the good vibes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. That's share really cool. Humans that want to help people.
Well, you hear it here, guys. You listeners, check out Sarah's videography and check out
Sydney
Classic with no S. Don't listen to Tim.
The classics.
But so because I know you and I mean a couple of years ago I was sort of helping out with a couple of your videos. I mean one of your music videos randomly. Like she messaged me because I saw her and I was like, if you ever do a video, I'll be keen to come because I like the back end of it. And I went there just doing back end stuff and one of her actors just didn't show up.
Oh
and
shit.
She just come to me, she's like, yeah, do you want to wear a weird costume and dance around? And I was like, sure.
That's me.
Honestly, that was like such a savior that day, bro. Honestly, I couldn't believe it. You confirm with actors. And this is, of course, this is the challenge when, you know, we're steering towards more creative sort of holistic space. But you do deal with people that aren't as reliable when you get into creatives and artists and stuff like that. Unfortunately, they give people like me a bad rap because I'm an artist, but I'm always fucking on time.
But you're also a businesswoman though, and it's just like it's just also just polite, honestly. They didn't even call you, which was really weird.
No,
like because that me I'm like I hate being late anywhere, and if I'm late I will let you know, like I'm gonna be late before I'm late, you know what I mean? Because it's just politeness. It's just rude to just not show up and then them like, what the fuck's going on? I've always thought like
It just weighs on my chest as well. If I'm late, I know I'm holding someone up. I'm like, like you said, I need to let them know. Otherwise, I'm freaking out going, I'm letting someone down.
It always makes me feel weird when I look back on like the old school Friends shows and like Seinfeld and stuff. And I'm like, basically all of their issues that they find in any of those shows are all because they can't communicate and they like lose each other. They don't talk once they're outside of the house. And I'm like, man, I can't even imagine thinking like that without my phone. Like what our parents had to go through when they even tried to make plans. Like if you were just like a meter away from each other, you might not even be able to find each other. You know what I mean? Just because someone got the directions wrong. And I'm like, you just have to guess and just hope they're not dead.
Just hope.
Just hope. Really just pray they're not dead.
Yeah.
Life would have been it's so weird back in those days, hey?
Oh man, I think about it all the time. But So, Sarah, so you've been doing a couple of other things too that I've been noticing. Obviously, you've got the videography stuff, but you've also been dabbling in you've been doing music for a while. So let's talk about that. But I also want to talk about the art that you've been doing lately too, because that's been new from my understanding.
Yes. Yeah.
What I've just before you go on that, what I've noticed about people in the photography industry, or people that have, you know, sort of, because I have another friend, she just started doing photography too, but it started the other way. So she was doing art first and then moved into photography, and now she's more doing the photography side of things. But I feel like anyone in those sort of creative fields just dabble into all other aspects of it, which is really cool.
Yeah. And I get with her side, she would have found how much she needs the cameras to promote her work. So that would have been a really nice natural progression that way. But I will touch on music first, because it's a lot quicker. There's not a lot going on with that.
Yeah, because I mean, you've been doing it for a while, right?
I have been doing that since 2015 or something like that. But very, very indie, like keeping it. It was mainly on SoundCloud for a long time until I formed.
Old school.
They're still on there as well. I'm like, oh my gosh, this stuff still exists. This is crazy. But
I have some videos of me on YouTube that I would rather delete, but it's not on my account, unfortunately.
And on YouTube.
So I'm never going to say that out loud.
That was never plugged. And there's this just quick sidetrack. There's a rule on YouTube, because I did a series when I was in film school. I wrote and directed and filmed this series that I acted in as well with a bunch of friends from film school, and it was at the restaurant I worked in. We did it once a week, and it was absolute debauchery on camera, and I was so ashamed a couple of years later. I never thought I would be. I was doing the whole, you know what, that was me at that time, and I'm just going to own it. And I looked back, you know, 6 months ago, and I was like, no, this is going to be with me forever. And there was this rule on YouTube where you couldn't actually delete anything that was legacy content, and it was now considered legacy content. So anyway, good story. Luckily, the other guy who was a part of that production spent about a full day typing in possible passwords, because we all forgot the password, and he managed to get them all down. So he was like, shout out to Quentin. Absolutely.
And he just deleted it. That's hilarious. Oh, mate, it's always back in the day when you look at all these people starting to try to do YouTube and stuff, and you're like, unless you make it, basically all of these videos that you start in the first like 4 years of your career are going to be terrible.
I watched an interesting video yesterday that you might both enjoy. So I started following this guy on YouTube. I don't know if you guys know Ludwig. He's like, he's got like 3 million. He's got like three and a half million subscribers on YouTube. Anyway,
Ludwig.
So one of his subscribers was like,
Google him.
I bet that you got famous because of luck and all this stuff. Like, you just famous because you got lucky, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, challenge accepted. What he's going to do is he's going to make a new, fresh account and not like associate himself whatsoever. Like, won't put his face, won't put his voice or anything, just a fresh account and make a video and get like 1,000 views in a day. And he asked Mr. Beast, it's like, do you think this is luck or skill? Mr. Beast's like, it's entirely skill, like 99% skill. So what he did,
it's 100%
was he wrote up this script about, there's another, I forgot what the other YouTuber's name, it's like Mifki or something. And he does streams, and he has a door behind him that's always like unlocked, and anyone can walk in. And the whole point of his stream is like other streamers walk in and go on streaming. In the middle of his stream, right?
Just randomly.
So this guy's the whole thing is about that. So this guy wrote a script. Ludwig wrote a script about how this door made this streamer $1 million, right? And so what he did is he hired a voice actor to like read the script, and then he hired some like video editing software. He said he spent about $600, but you don't normally need to, but he spent that much. And then what he did was he went on the streamer's stream while he was live streaming, tipped him $50 and was like, watch my video. And the guy watched it live on his stream. And within, I think, an hour, it had 1,000, like maybe even less than an hour, 1,000 views, all these comments. He had like 300 subscribers. And I was like, damn.
Wow. Good on him.
That's hilarious. Because I've also... I've seen sort of Jimmy, Mr. Beast, do the same thing, where he's just like, it's really once you know and you put all your time and effort into learning the like the statistics, the algorithms, like, and learning how what makes a good video, like, because it 100%, like, you know how much Mr. Beast spends on his like thumbnails alone? Thumbnails alone, he spends $10,000 just to make sure it's the right picture, make sure he's it gives got, you what you need to
he's
do.
He's got 12 million
that's what makes gets clicks, right?
Whoa. No, Mr. Beast, 12 Ludwig. Million subscribers. 12 million subscribers.
12 million?
Oh, on YouTube.
He's got 100 million.
Oh, maybe I was looking. Definitely got. Maybe I was looking at an alternate.
He's the top. He's the. Mr. Beast is the top YouTube subscriber.
120.
Right, he
127 million. Sorry, maybe I misread that.
Yeah. I was like, it's a bit low.
And then views his videos get like 90 million views. That's crazy.
Yeah, dude, it's insane. He did the fucking. He did that Squid Game video, and he said he spent $4 million on that, but he made like almost double that. Like he went crazy overnight. Almost like 120 million people watched it. It's the same as the Super Bowl watched his video. Like, yeah. Just blows my mind when you start off just like a small little streamer, a small little YouTuber, and then all of a sudden you're just like this massive personality. It's crazy what the internet and social media and stuff has done. So with that ability, you know.
It just blew my mind, like, that the guy's ability, he just like knew what would hook people, the right avenues to do it, the right hook way people, to sort of bait the other streamer to clicking on the video and watching it start to finish, because it was like a 4-minute video, and I was like, oh man. And then after the video finished, the streamer was like, well, that guy knew what he was doing, anyway, on to the next video.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because it's like that's so true though, because like there's people out there that are copying Mr. Beast's video, like script for script, scene for scene, the exact same video, but like overseas, and they're making so much money on it just because it's the same. Like it's pretty shit because it just does it. It makes it. That was this conspiracy theory of going out. Basically, everything's becoming Mr. Beast-fied because everyone's stealing all of his shit. But they're stealing it because it works. There's a reason why people steal shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's anyway. We went into a
tunnel. I just thought you guys would like that. I think
YouTube.
I thought it was pretty. Cool.
But so
yeah, and I mean, I need to look into.
No, that is kick.
How sad is that? I don't even know who he is.
Dude, Mr. Beast is. I actually really, really like Mr. Beast. I didn't think I liked him not long ago, because I mean, his target demographic is pretty young usually. I mean, most YouTube personalities, their target demographic is the same as David Dobrik, you know, 13, 14 people. But Mr. Beast was really smart. He made money. He figured out that if he can get enough brand sponsors and basically whatever he makes on one video, he reinvests it into the next video. So the first brand deal he got, someone, I don't know, someone called him and say, hey, we want to offer you $5,000 to make a video for us. He's like, no, double it and I'm going to go give it to a homeless person. And they're like, no, you're not. He's just like, no, you give me $10,000 and I'm going to make a video and just go give that to a homeless person. And he made that. And then that video made $20,000. And then he realized, he's like, oh, I've got this brilliant idea of just every single video and I can just do that to help people. And now he's got like over 100 people working for him. He's got like food, like warehouses, all this stuff that he's giving to charity and stuff.
So is that the sort of content he's making? He's giving.
Correct. Oh, yeah, that's wow. All he does is give people.
Yeah.
Give money away. He literally, every single video just gives money to people.
Maybe I do know this guy. I just might know him by a different name because there's one guy on Instagram who I love. I can't think of the name right now, so it couldn't be him, but he does something really similar.
Well, Jimmy started that whole sort of, like, because now it's sort of everything. Like, there's a lot of those videos where they're just people out going out being random acts of kindness and stuff. Like, I don't think that's a bad thing to steal. Steal but that like, as much as you want. Just make it your own, you know what I mean?
Can put into like, it is crazy. I know. I'm just saying. I watch another channel.
Like, you start off as making zero.
He has 7 million subscribers. So 120 million less subscribers. And I was watching an episode the other day where he was buying, like, MacBooks or like these massive 85-inch plasma TVs and selling them to people for a dollar and literally just giving them to them for a dollar. Yeah, and they were just like, serious? He's like, that... yeah, whatever.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that same guy. He goes in and goes to like skate shops and he's like, can I buy the whole store?
And he'll go up to people and just knock on their door.
Purchase everything.
I'd like to pay your rent, and just pays their rent for the month. And you're just like,
yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Because I'm like, I love those ideas, of those ideas of going out and helping people, but you have to do it right, because you don't want to come across like too preachy or, you know, too fake.
Well, you can, stuff like people that. So I'm just can like, see it. People are discerning. Like, you can see if there's no real heart there. That's the thing. And it does come sure. across in the end.
Yeah, for sure. Like, because one of my favorite YouTubers, I don't know how we started talking about YouTube.
Videography.
One of my favorite YouTubers is the group. Is the group called Yes Theory. I think Zara's definitely heard of them. Yeah, dude, they are
brilliant.
One, incredible filmmakers. Mm. Like, all of them are really, really good filmmakers. They hook you really well, but they also have a really good message. Yeah,
exactly. And
I don't think there's enough people out there that with a solid message that you can sort of get exactly. behind. Like, yeah, I believe.
And it's there in the name as well. You can't miss the message. It's like Yes Theory.
It's great. Yes. I wish. I had a cool idea when I was really young and I just stuck to it for 20 years, you know what I mean? Because Mr. Beast is 23 and he's already almost a billionaire.
Oh God. It'll happen for you guys when it's meant to. You're already on keep your going, own road.
I hope so.
I love listening 39. To your podcast.
Oh, so you've listened to a few, have you?
It's like, chill.
Oh,
I have. How many episodes? Yeah. We like to quiz people.
Probably, I think four or five. I mean, I very rarely listen to podcasts. So you guys have actually
season one or two
I've listened to in the last couple of months. So I think it was more recent.
Oh, nice.
I just like scroll and then I go beep and I don't even know who's talking.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. It's like,
do you know, people say that all the time that they can't understand who's talking meals are. And I'm like, I just can't hear it.
Different. No, that's a thing.
What?
Yeah, no idea.
Sounds so different, man. I maybe it's just because whenever I'm listening to myself when I'm editing it, I'm just cringing.
You're
so
like
much.
You're like the cringy person talking. That's me, yeah.
Yeah, shut your mouth. What? It was because, I was going to say earlier on, but I still do it now. Like, I talk too much. And like, when I'm in the editing suite and I just like hear it, I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, let's let Sarah speak. So
all
music.
Right.
How did you sort of start in music, sort of thing? Because, I mean, you and your sister are really good singers. But...
Oh, my sister is such a good singer. She'd trump me any day. I'll take the rap side. She can take the singing.
Yeah, I've never said it to her face.
Yeah, I'm a pretty good singer too.
I compliment her too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both of us can get the fuck out of here. I've heard us both.
Y'all gonna sing for me?
She's beautiful.
I can't even think of a song.
It's always like, what? No, I know. I hate when people say, sing me a song. It's like every song I've ever known goes.
Oh my God.
All right, he's found one.
No, it's like when someone, you say, oh, I'm a comedian or something. Like, tell me a joke. Like, that's not how it works, man. Yeah, that's not how it works.
Yeah,
so you sing, do you DJ? What do? You produce? You like play instruments? What?
The DJ new song thing really is dope. Actually the oh thanks bro. The DJing thing is actually pretty funny. I have beautiful I could use this as a sales place. I have a beautiful DJ deck for sale.
Oh.
If anyone wants it.
Oh really?
It's been used what kind? Twice. It's I can't remember what it's called. Ash would know.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It was like $800 or something or $850.
It's probably a tractor. It's probably a tractor. Those are the best ones.
It's Pioneer. I can see the box. Yeah, it's a Pioneer. I don't have it with me, unfortunately. But anyway, that was the one thing that I went. It was while I was, you know, going out a bit more and getting into partying a little bit more. And I thought, you know, why not go to gigs? Like, if I'm going to go to clubs anyway, I may as well go and perform. And then
do it, yeah.
I learned. I did this whole competition. I got through to the final couple of things. So I was able to gain some lessons from this guy. Anyway, long story short, never ever did it again. Like after that lesson, it just never ever happened. And I love producing. I'm very slowly, but I'm not a technical person, right? So this is where the paradox lies. I absolutely love creating my own music, but there is so many little tweaky back end, you know,
it's crazy.
Things that you have to learn. And so I still do work with a couple of producers that I absolutely love.
Do you have a particular style of music that you make?
It's So this is the other issue. So it comes back to the creative thing in general. I cannot box myself in. I try. It's a lot better for marketing when you can try and box yourself in. I mean,
it's really hard to put you in a genre, to be honest, because it's like,
thank you.
There's like,
it's not just me.
Well, I mean, because you rap in some things, but then you also,
some are slow. You sing, some are
really like sort of jumpy beats, right, sort of thing.
That's
the
thing.
What's your artist name? Is it just your name?
What is it?
I will literally look you up after this.
Try to keep it simple. Yay, give me your feedback.
Do you only have the one song out currently, Chiseled? But because can you listen to your whole backlog on Spotify and stuff too? Or is it just the one?
On Spotify, you can listen to everything since 2019. So the first five songs was a EP that I did with two talented ladies that lived in Marrickville. They were named Forces and Fury, and cool. We sort of joined forces. So they were doing the production, and then I did the rapping and singing. They actually also helped to produce one of the SoundCloud albums. So you can also check out SoundCloud. I would check out that for some legacy stuff. Like, that's really interesting, the shift.
Well, when this episode comes out, I'm sure we'll get a bunch of your links and we'll just spam it out.
But on Spotify right now, there is Expectations that came out a month ago, and then Chiseled came out a couple of weeks ago, and I've got the Misfits one coming out in a couple of weeks, which is sort of
Misfits.
Like, yeah, so
that's an old
one, yeah, it's really it? Old. It's like, so Misfits was
because that's
one.
The one Ashley's is in the video
exactly. So what? I recorded this before I got sick. So this is like the song that I was about to release when my whole life changed. And then I'm just picking it up now. And the thing is, I'm picking it up because of the love of all those people that helped me with that video and because of the vibes that I had at that time. But it doesn't necessarily represent how I am with music and where I'm at right now. So it's a bit of a love-hate thing with that song. But there is still some vibes to it where I'm like, look, yeah, I like the little sassy, you know, ringleader-esque vibe. It was like a
I can relate to the sort of not where you are right now, because obviously, I mean, we're recording episode 19 at the moment, but we just released episode 8 of this season. So when I'm listening to those episodes, I'm like talking about things that aren't even real anymore. Like I was talking about my old job and I'm like, what I'm doing now. I'm like, it was really weird because I was working shift work last time, and there was an episode where I was like, oh, I just loved working shift. It's so good. And then I was editing
things
it, about ready to release it. I was like, what? I fucking hate working shift. What are you talking about? Fucking idiot, Tim. So it's just super weird like that.
Well, that's the thing I love about music. Right. And, you know, there's a little bit of hate in there as well. But it is a little encapsulation, like a time capsule of you at that time. So it's good to see. As long as I'm continuing to progress and move forward. And, I mean, the next song I'm going to put out after Misfits is literally a rock song. It's rap and rock with this amazing fucking guitarist. He's like an engineer. He creates escape rooms, so he's like he builds them from scratch. He comes up with the ideas. He's such an engineer in so many ways. He's fantastic, and him and I just get along like a house on fire. And he's like early 50s. He's a BMX like Australian champion to this day, and he's a like rock star on the side. He's just a legend. So this is the thing. What is my genre? I don't know. Someone else tell me, please. Or let's create a genre. Let's create one that is everything.
And what about
you just have to keep finding stuff that you find, I guess, that you like.
Do you have any like artists or bands that influenced you with music that made you want to get into it? So I feel like that really, when someone can give you their influences, you kind of, I don't know, for me, I like knowing people's music personality. Mm. That's why I'm asking, because I like to sort of know what kind of things make them tick, what they love, you know?
I like that. I do. It's a tough one. It's like,
it's all right if you don't have any.
That's the thing. I do, but they're at different phases.
It's about seven pages long.
Right now, I mean, you know when Spotify does the recap at the end of the year and it shows you how many genres you've listened to? I listened to 86 genres this year.
Yep.
And that's like normal. Wow. I'm like, what are these genres I'm listening to? It's all over the place. But I mean,
well, maybe I'll rephrase. Was there like a particular artist or band that you think was most influential to you?
It was just rap in general. Like, it was really
just the rap
genre.
Yeah,
but really good rappers. Like when I hear someone put a story into some bars that is so enlightening, and it paints a picture for you in so many different ways, and it can be interpreted by different people in different ways. And then on top of that, it rhymes. It's like, what the fuck? That was just...
I have a lot of respect for rappers that they can they rap fast, they rap on beat, but you can also understand and they enunciate really well, because then there's the mumble rappers where you can't really understand what the fuck they're saying. But because I was looking the other day, on YouTube randomly, just going down a hole, and I went into rap battles, and I didn't realize that 360 literally started his career just doing rap battles in like downtown Melbourne, Australia. And because I didn't really listen to much 360,
you're talking Australian rap.
You know, the mainstream sort of rap stuff, but watching it,
I love Aussie.
Aussie rap is so cool.
If you like, if you really like lyrical century picture, really meaningful lyrics,
lyricism,
you definitely Bliss and Esso then. Bliss and Esso.
Yeah,
they are
Aussie rap.
Tim, get out of here, dude.
Are they
Australian? Yeah. Have you heard Esso rap? He's like,
because I was about to say them, but I was just like, because I was gonna say Hilltop Hoods, Bliss and Esso. But I'm like,
saying it, Sarah, I instantly thought of Bliss and Esso, and there was this one song. I don't know if you've heard it. It's quite a popular song by them. It's called Addicted.
Okay, I haven't heard any of
Addicted by Bliss and Esso. It's just very poetic, very, the lyrics are very meaningful and very deep. Like, if you look the lyrics as you listen to it, you'll be like, oh wow.
Good.
Like,
this is really exciting. Thank you.
But then that's the difference is, like, I feel like Australian hip hop, like Hilltop Hoods and Bliss and Esso, those two in particular are more lyrical messages. And when there's other hit rappers that are like all about like the quick bars and like the fitting them and the flow and stuff, which is not so much with those bands.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like they don't really care much about the message or the thing of the song. You know what I mean? Anyway, so we've got 20 minutes left and I did want to talk about it. I mean, you touched on it earlier and I know you wanted to bring it up also. So you did get sick. I wasn't really 100% aware of this situation. I've sort of just been filled in since I moved back to Sydney.
Yeah,
but,
so I'm not surprised.
Go through and what happened there?
I didn't really talk about it to anyone and I exited social media for 2 years. It was very necessary at the time. Basically everything was sort of powering along. I was probably at the height of our production company. I was doing a lot of music. This was 2020, so COVID had just hit.
What year was it, sorry?
Bam, bam, bam of a year.
Shittest year.
Yeah, so basically one day I was it just blows my mind still, sorry. The reason I'm laughing about this in advance is because there have been so many gifts that I have received from this illness. But anyway, we're talking about... Yeah, I know. I can't see yours either right now.
I'm glad you were laughing because we can't really see your face at the moment. So, like, you were crying.
I've got a huge smile on my face.
And I was like, fuck, I hope she's laughing.
The biggest gift of this lifetime so far. There will surely be more. I thought cancer was the biggest one, but this ended up being way bigger than that. And so basically, I don't think I've told you about that either, but that's a whole other story.
Oh my God, Sarah, you're building it up so much. I just want to know.
About epilepsy. I had this day where I was running around a little bit as I used to when I used to drive. I can't drive anymore. The only like kick in the
Oh, that's right. You can't drive anymore. That would be the shittest part.
Every day. Cause I mean, it's great cause I walk everywhere now. I'm getting a lot fitter, but, it's a pain, yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, not being able to get around.
Basically,
I
went over to a friend's house. The last thing I remember was eating. We were about to sit down and eat. She'd prepared this beautiful big dish of, you know, big feast for, because it was COVID, there were only five of us or something allowed, you know, when they had those rules. There's only five people allowed in a space at a certain time or six or something. So I was... Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So I was one of the lucky six that were invited to this lunch. And
Oh, what an honor.
And I felt so awful because it's not until, you know, 2 days later that I realized what had happened, but I completely ruined the lunch just before everyone went to eat. But last thing I remember was looking at all the food in the kitchen, sitting back down with like one little chip or something, speaking to the husband of this friend of mine. And the next thing I remember, I was waking up in the hospital with my whole family around me and my partner at the time and just going, what the, why?
Do you know how much gap there was between those two moments?
Yeah, like, did you find out? It was about four to six hours the first time. And then, but I'm not unconscious.
So you were unconscious for that long?
While I'm having my seizure, there are so many different types of seizures. So it's, you know, you can't even box it in when it comes to epilepsy. Everyone is very different. Some people can, their eyes roll back into their head and then they come back forward and they're done and they could still be standing. But mine is the full tonic-clonic, which is the full body convulsions. Yeah. I'm biting my cheek. I've got blood coming out my mouth. I've got foam coming out my mouth. My head is blue because I can't get any oxygen in. People think I'm going to – that's the thing. It's very confronting.
The foam is the scariest part, I think.
I always feel worse for the people that are with me when this happens because they are scarred most of the time. It's really, really horrific to see. Mm-hmm. And
I have a couple of questions. Oh, you go first, Tim. I'm curious.
I've only got one thing to say because, like, I've only ever been around one person that was having a fit, like an actual fit. Mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but so I'll say it really quickly for you. But when I was in year six, one of my best friends, his dad had epilepsy. And it was always a continuous conversation. They're like, oh, yeah, my dad's got epilepsy and stuff. But it never had anything because he was always on top of his shots and stuff. So he never had any fits. And then randomly one day, his girlfriend was in the bathroom and I was just watching TV with Steven and his dad comes out, sits on the couch, says something strange, and then he immediately just collapses and then just starts going. And we freak out because I think we're like, what, near six, so I was 11, 11 or something. And we're just banging on the door like, But The next week, he was just like, cook me aside. He's like, yeah, but you weren't scared.
No, that was fine.
No, you didn't interrupt him. Anyway, that's fine.
Sorry to interrupt.
I've got a couple of questions. Yeah. Firstly, so you saying this was actually quite recent. This was only a few years ago that you had this first episode.
2020.
So you had no idea previously that you had epilepsy? No. That's so weird.
No.
I thought you were born with it. Aren't you born with epilepsy? So you can develop it over time. Interesting.
Question two.
Do they know what causes epilepsy? Sorry, Zara.
Does it get triggered by anything particular? Do you notice anything?
Yeah.
That maybe.
So again, it's different for everyone. So everyone does go straight to the assumption. Never go clubbing again. And that is called photosensitive epilepsy. So that's not what I have.
Strobes.
I have temporal lobe epilepsy. So I seem to lose time and all sorts of memory. Like that's where your memory is stored. So when I say before Zar, I'm so sorry I don't remember us meeting. There's so many of those interactions over the last, it's sort of like taken a blip of 5 to 6 years out.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I forgive you. There is something that happened that maybe you would remember. So we're at Tim's house when he lived with Ashley in Sydney in Surrey Hills, and we were going to a party, and our friend Nathan, Tim knows Nathan, came to the party and he shaved and he cut himself on his face and was like trying to like dab it for like an hour or two. Do you remember that at all? Because I have a video on one of my old phones of going to the bathroom when Nathan's like doing that, and you were literally in the camera and you were like, yo. And that's how, because I have that video on my old phone. Yeah.
Can you send this to me? I would love to remember.
I'll try. I'll try and find it for sure.
I remember that because we were already hammered and literally nonstop since when Nathan got there, we were nonstop giving him shit about his shitty mo. So, like nonstop. All of the party was like, that's the shittest mo I've ever seen in my entire life. And he was hammered and somehow we convinced him to shave it, which is already dumb because he's already drunk.
He shaved his face and started bleeding and it wouldn't stop.
Mustache. because he was drunk, and because it was drunk, his blood was thinner, so it just kept going.
This is the sort of thing that really freaks me out when I'm like, how do you?
All right, I'll see if I find the video and I'll send it to you because.
Oh, man, I have so many stories to fill you in on this.
I know. Anyway,
sorry to interrupt your quite serious epilepsy talk. It was just something that I remember.
No, that's okay. It's good to keep it light. It's good to keep it light. So basically that first day, it was what happens with me is, okay, so in terms of triggers, it can be, I've found out only recently, the last one I had was in July this year, and it was...
Last year.
2022. 2022.
Yeah.
We'll clarify.
Oh, yep. 2022, July. Yep. Yeah, good to know. So that one was actually a sugar-related, low blood sugar. So I'm hypoglycemic, and I didn't actually connect the two because there's obviously diabetic seizures as well. So there seem to be a few things at play with me. But it's definitely, I don't have the, yeah, exactly. I've got a nice little mix.
Concoction of illnesses.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But I haven't had any for a while, and I was placed on, so anyway, let me go back to the start. So had this first one, and like you were saying with your mate's dad, there's apparently, I'm never there for it, but there's a very loud, raw, like primal scream that comes out of me apparently. And that's what really freaks people out. One of the girls at the first one that ever happened to me, she literally thought I was possessed by the devil. And she was so freaked out. And I was like, what the hell? And she couldn't be near me for a while.
Like talking in tongues and stuff?
Oh, blah, blah. I'm not myself.
Were you actually?
Yeah, 100%. I'm talking this weird stuff. And
I think that's the weirdest part, because obviously you're looking, well, some people like look at people in their eyes, but you're not there. Obviously.
Yeah, no.
Conscious is gone.
Seriously. It's so fascinating. Like it really is. But what happens with me is, and I only figured this out after the third round, I always have three at the one sort of time, but they're always about 6 to 8 hours apart. So I go to hospital and then I get discharged, and then I have another one in the car or at home in bed. And like one time I had one when I was in bed and I like was convulsing so hard that I flipped myself out of the bed and smashed my jawbone on the bedside table that was metal. And I still have like a dent in here. But
brutal.
There's always...
How are you sort of, I'm not sure if this is a personal question, you don't have to ask it, answer it, but obviously living by yourself now, is that safe?
Not really, but I'm fine with it.
I want my space.
Exactly. I wouldn't sacrifice my free time and my space for anything. But I did the one that I had recently was the first one that I've had been by myself. And basically I thought I was having a normal day. I suddenly remember sitting on the ground in the laundry on top of my cat's litter. Not on top of it, not like using it. But
I had the weirdest image just then.
Sorry, I just had the weirdest image.
Imagine if you just woke up, you were just taking a poop and came a cat's litter.
For like,
this is the new one.
You became a cat.
Oh my gosh.
Honestly, I was doing uni and we were studying these sorts of things, because I was studying science and stuff at uni, and we did a bit on epilepsy, and it was like, if someone, like if you witness someone having a seizure, you're supposed to just let them do it. Like you shouldn't like hold them, or you shouldn't try and stop them from flailing. You just got to let them flail.
Nope.
And that would be the hardest thing to do. I feel like if you're seeing someone have a seizure, you want to like help, but you just got to let them have the seizure.
100%. This is
because, I mean, well, as long as they're not like,
put
them in the, like the recovery position, and then you leave them.
Yeah. You can choke.
Cause if they're on their back and stuff, they can die.
So bad. For the other people, it's not so much me. Yes, I have some injuries when I come out of it, and obviously my mental state is not great for quite a while, but it's the event. In the terms of the event, it's the person that's with you that has to sort of suffer through it, and it's awful. And biggest myth, want to get out there, you never put your finger in the person's mouth. There's this huge
unless you want to lose your digit.
You're supposed to hook your finger around. That's the thing. You're going to lose
dumbest thing I've ever heard.
100%. Even if you put like some people, because they always think that there's a myth that you're going to choke on your tongue. So people go and they think that you're supposed to, if you see someone having a seizure, you put your finger in there, you pull their tongue out so it's not curling back. Okay, that's insane. And then some people even have used wooden spoons and knives and stuff because they didn't want their finger in there. So then the person's chipped their tooth on the person having the seizure is chipped their tooth on the wooden spoon or whatever it is.
I suppose it's just ignorance. Like, people just don't know.
Basically, they were just like, let them have the seizure and just try and move a dangerous object as far away as possible. And you just got to let them, you just got to wait it out.
Let them do it. Yeah. And you just time it. The important thing is that you time it. If it goes over 5 minutes, it's getting pretty serious. But yeah, you just put pillows around them, put them on their side, pad them up as much as you can around them, and just time it. That's it. And then call the ambulance if it goes.
So have you had an episode while you're at your house by yourself before, when you were by yourself?
So I was by myself. So this one, when I woke up, I had one, and I didn't realize I had. So obviously I woke up and I was sitting on the laundry next to my kitty's litter.
So you slept walked while you were seizuring, basically.
I have no idea.
You weren't in bed.
It
was in the daytime. It wasn't at night. They strike at any time. And so it was like middle of the day, and all that I knew that was strange is that, one, I was sitting on the laundry floor, but two, the litter had been smashed. Like, obviously it had been kicked by me or something like that. I didn't realize at the time I'd obviously fallen on my head. I had this big sort of bruise, scratch thing going on here. So luckily I called my business partner, Dave, and I texted him, and I just said something weird. I said something like,
and obviously he knows what's going on,
something that didn't make sense. And he knew, and he came over, and very luckily he knew where the spare key was.
So
he let himself in, but I was already into the next one, and it took me a long time to come out of it. And then we ended up having to take me to the hospital because I just kept sort of rolling back into another one, and then slowly back into another one. And so, it wasn't great.
It doesn't sound fun, to be honest, but so
it's not ideal.
Well,
I guess
the good thing, I mean, I say good, like, it's like you don't really realize it when it's happening, and you kind of wake up afterwards.
There's no pain.
Definitely grateful for that. I just end up getting the stories at the end.
Because if you were just watching and you just saw your body not be able to do anything, that would be the worst. I think that'd be trapped. Yeah, that'd be tough.
That would be really confronting, honestly. But
you can get a dog though. You can get a helper dog.
Yeah.
You should get a helper dog.
Well, and you could train it to dial the
911. I've always wanted to pat like a helper dog, because you're not allowed to in public. People yell at you if you try to pat. They're like, service dogs. But I've seen some of the service dogs, like videos and stuff of one, usually of epilepsy and like autistic sort of meltdowns where they start hitting themselves and stuff like that. The epilepsy ones are really interesting because somehow the dog can tell before you actually have a fit that you're going to have a fit. And he starts like sort of moving things around so you don't fall on anything. And then he will just sit on you until you actually have it. It's really interesting. Those dogs are really well trained.
They're so incredible. And that's the thing. They can sense the things that we can't see. And
I wish I could just have one without
it's
being
a
injured.
Whole lot of... Yeah, just
I just want a really well-trained dog. Or a monkey. I'd love a monkey.
A monkey.
Could you imagine if we got one of those little capuches? If we're allowed those in Australia? I would 100% have a capuchin monkey.
I definitely would as well.
They're the best.
Love them.
And they can't kill you either. They're too small.
Surely not. I'd hope not.
I mean.
But it's just good to know. It's good to keep an eye out if you know anyone or if you see it happen. You sort of know the basic tips now, and any of your listeners will know the basic tips to not get too caught up in the ways. But something I love about the history of epilepsy are the people that it is affected in the past. Like Da Vinci, for example, he was very much into art and everything, but he didn't have so much of his art abilities until he started having his seizures.
Interesting.
And what has started happening to me?
Yeah, I mean, you did start.
I started doing art.
I mean, I didn't realize you were a painter until I sort of started seeing.
I wasn't a painter. Wow. That's the thing. I was not a painter. I could show you what I did before I started having seizures, and you would laugh at it and go.
In a way, it's like
it's a gift.
In a way, it's like the epilepsy has sort of done something with your brain chemistry.
Maybe after the next fit, like maybe after the next fit, you'll just wake up and you can speak French.
Honestly, I'm writing a list. What is going to come out of the next one? Come on.
Just before we do leave, because we're running out of time, but yep. I just have one question. So when it's sort of a two-parter. So when you find, after the first time, you woke up in bed, right, in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that point, do they know what's wrong with you, or do they just know that you've had a seizure? Like the doctors?
They just know that I've had a seizure at that point. And the rule is that you, if you have more than three within a 24-hour period, I believe, or 72-hour period or something like that, then they diagnose you with epilepsy.
Oh, really?
So technically, I might not necessarily have epilepsy. I may just have seizures. But it's their ruling system, and it's just, and also,
what's the definition
of epilepsy?
I know
we don't have time to tap on it. There's chemical.
I'm doing someone it. Who elepits.
Epilepsy is a elepits. Central nervous system disorder in which brain activity becomes abnormal, causing seizures or periods of unusual behavior, sensations, and sometimes loss of awareness. Interesting. So you could just have like just seizures, and it could technically couldn't be, might not be epilepsy.
Yeah, exactly. Seizures.
Well, there's a lot of things that lead to seizures that aren't epilepsy. Like, I think seizures can occur for a range of reasons.
I mean, assuming it's something to do with the brain. Definitely. I mean, you can't have a kidney issue and then have a seizure.
Yeah, I think, I think if there's some sort of organ issue somewhere else and it could cause, like, a central nervous system, like, freak out and then you have a seizure. Yeah. You see, like, those medical shows, like House or some shit.
70% accurate.
Like, oh, we're losing him. Oh, he's seizuring. Oh, stat, get the 12 millimeters.
It's so funny that you bring that up because in the episode that we released today, like, we also brought up a House quote.
Did you?
The episode we were talking about, well, I think I brought up a House quote, and then I was just like, I think it happened in House. And another guy was like, yeah, probably real. House is basically just a real life documentary. Did you not know that?
Yeah, it's a good show.
Dude, House, I love House. Back in the day. They don't make shows like that anymore.
Well,
no.
I think we should do one bucket topic.
We don't have enough time for a bucket topic. We've got 4 minutes left.
We're going to do it. I've picked one. So, Sarah, we've got our bucket or. Well, it's actually
just say a bucket. You say this every time. Just say
draw
a bucket.
But, topic.
And we've got topics that we've had.
So they have down. Like a question, statement, or sentence on there. They're usually just to create conversation, right? Spontaneous conversation. So we don't really know what's on there because we get other people to write them.
Okay, but our challenge is we've got to make this create the end outro.
Yeah, good fun.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, we can go a little bit over time. That's fine.
Oh, okay.
What are some skills or a skill you wish you had mastered?
Dude, so many.
Or you wish you could master, but you have to pick one.
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
I think learning languages. Can I just do languages as a whole? That's because a good one. I think once you learn one,
like you'd want
to
know
how to learn multiple languages, not just how to learn a single language, but what's the best method to find a language, memorize it, and then become fluent in it. Because,
I have heard that if you learn a language and you become fluent in a second language, then learning the third language becomes exponentially easier. So I think it's like that, your brain, training your brain to like be able to.
I just wish I was more, committed to things, because I pick up a lot of hobbies and I enjoy those hobbies, but I'm just really bad at staying committed to that one thing to master it. Because you know how it says it takes 10,000 hours or something to master a skill or something like that. I'll probably do something maybe for 1,000 hours and be like, why the fuck aren't I good?
I feel that,
Sarah.
Well, okay, so I do love that. Especially tapping, like, the language thing, but tapping into the memory. Like, I wish that I had the skill for memory. But the one thing that I really do wish that I learned, and I still can, it's just taking a lot longer. And for some reason, it goes in one ear and out the other. It is astrology.
I want
to understand. Wait. Every single time I've had someone read my chart or tell me something about myself, my makeup, my human design, it's always so spot on. Mm. And it always has relations to where the planets are, what cycle we're in, what phase we're in, where the moon is. And at first I didn't believe in any of that sort of stuff. And it's just blown my mind that many times that I feel like to have that skill, to have that tool you would just be able to understand your life and your future and help other people as well.
Yeah.
So I've had one of my mum's old mates. He is really into tarot cards. Mm,
amazing.
And he's like basically a tarot card guru, and he just knows all the cards and what they mean. That's and blah, a huge blah, blah, blah. Skill and he, too. I remember one time I got the honor of him reading my tarot.
Amazing.
And I can remember it so well because it was just like everything he said and how it related to me. And I was just like, is this guy reading my mind? Yeah. How does he know that stuff? Yeah. So yeah, that would be really cool to like master the tarot or master like that stuff as well. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I'm just really annoyed at myself because I remember back in school days, I had just a lot more, I suppose you have a lot more free time, but you just have a lot more passion and keenness to, you know, sit down and do one skill. I could sit down there and draw for hours on end, do this one piece and just be really, really satisfied because I'm just sitting there just doing this like squiggle, you know what I mean? But because I know what it's going to look like at the end, I was really, really keen to do that. Now it's just, I still enjoy doing that, but it also takes a lot longer for me to find that Zen point, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, I'll start drawing something, but I don't really like it. And then it takes a while for me to actually find something that I'm like, all right, I really like this. This is really good. And then I could just sit there for hours. Yeah. It's just not as easy as it was when I was a kid.
Oh, I so feel that. And that's like, I mean, I have that with painting a little bit as well, but mainly with music. I start and I've got this awesome flow going, this beautiful idea. I have about like 17 to maybe 25 half done songs right now, and the start of them all are fantastic, but then my patience is just out the window. And if I could just sit with them for another week or something and just dedicate time every day to that, they would become, you know, they would become something, they would come to life.
That's the thing.
It's just that it's the patience is probably the biggest
I think everything. We all need patience. Patience is definitely something I require for sure. I just want something now. Right now, I just want a really, really fit body without having to go to the gym. Is that too much fucking to ask? Is that too much? Yeah, to ask? I know.
Don't we all? Tim? All right.
On that note, I think we should probably leave it there. It's getting a bit late, 8:20.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. No, it's been really fun. Like,
thank you.
Honestly, I didn't even realize how close we were to the end, and I realized we didn't even barely do a topics or anything like that. The conversation flowed really well. I really had fun.
It was fine.
Good. That was great to talk to. And send me that video, Zara. I'm so fascinated.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll listen to some of your music as well.
Yeah, right. Give me your thoughts.
We'll awesome. All right. Stay on after this. Well, I'll just stop recording. But thanks, everyone. All we'll see you guys later. And stay average. Bye.
Stay average.
Bye.